Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Guess I must be done. Shed a pocket full of horses, children, and some abuse. But it was Saturday night. I guess that makes it all right. You see, what have I got to lose? Money, I said, leave it coming. Baby, much too fast.
This means at the War Department, first and foremost, we must restore a ruthless, dispassionate, and common sense application of standards. Standards must be uniform, gender neutral, and high. Think of it as the golden rule test. Jesus said, do unto others that which you would have done unto yourself. It's the ultimate simplifying test of truth. The new War Department golden rule is this: do unto your unit as you would have done onto your own child's unit.
Secretary of War, former Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, yesterday in this major address. I know the Trump speech really got a lot of the attention, but I listened to the Trump speech and I listened to the Secretary of War speech, and it was Pete's speech that really carried the content. That was the one that mattered the most, and we've been getting a lot of talking about this extensively, working our way through this speech. I think one of the most important speeches this year, frankly. Big stuff, important stuff, especially for a military town like ours, and having a lot to do with training and readiness and standards. And, of course, you know, we are the home of the Naval Education Training Command. We'll actually be talking to Admiral Huffman tomorrow at 7:10, right at this time tomorrow. So when Capo will be here in studio with him, and we'll talk about, you know, all of this and also just generally what NETC does. But, you know, through this speech, feel free to text me your thoughts on it, 437-1620. So far, I think almost all of the comments from our audience have been, very, very positive. People telling me that they were watching it with military members who are retired now and were basically crying at the relief to finally have the military they always wished they'd had, you know, standing up at the end and saluting, you know, that kind of thing. So, and I think a lot of people reacted that way. Not everybody. He's going to get to that. So the standards, he gave 10 big policy adjustments. Highest male standard for all combat arms positions, age adjusted, but all, you know, highest standard. If women meet it, great. If not, okay, also great. Combat arms test for every position, so physical ability and job competency. Daily PT for everyone at every level. No more fat troops. No more fat generals, I think is a fair way to summarize it. And then fourth, you've got to meet the height and weight standards 2 times per year for everyone, all the way to the chair of the Joint Chiefs, all the way down to the first enlisted man. Then he continued.
This also means grooming standards. No more beards, long hair, superficial individual expression. We're going to cut our hair, shave our beards, and adhere to standards. Because it's like the broken windows theory of policing. It's like when you let the small stuff go, the big stuff eventually goes. So you have to address the small stuff. This is on duty, in the field, and in the rear. If you want a beard, you can join Special Forces. If not, then shave. We don't have a military full of Nordic pagans. But unfortunately, we have had leaders who either refused to call BS and enforce standards, or leaders who felt like they were not allowed to enforce standards. Both are unacceptable.
The one thought that I have about this is it looks like we are then going to either probably lose everybody who's a Sikh, right? One of my best friends growing up happened to be Sikh. It's an Indian religion, and beard and hair growth not being cut for men is a religious value to them. And you had previously had an accommodation, apparently, for both pagan Norse, folks, and that's for many of them there are, but Sikh is a real thing. And so having Sikhs in the military has been, there are not just a few. Okay. And so doesn't look like there's going to be an accommodation for that anymore. So that will be an out. And then what that naturally raises is, well, your whole emphasis here is on qualifications for the job. And does it degrade the military to not make exemptions for some people for things that are of religious importance to them like that? Well, time will tell, I suppose, but we have long done so, and we're not going to do it anymore. Interesting that he didn't mention, although I don't know, the tattoos thing, because that's been another very fluid standard. And hairstyles, you know, accommodating traditionally black hairstyles, but another thing in the military. He didn't mention that yesterday, so I don't know what that's going to mean, but he was clear.
And that's why today, at my direction, the era of unprofessional appearance is over. No more beardos. The era of rampant and ridiculous shaving profiles is done.
No more beardos. I like that.
Simply put, if you do not meet the male-level physical standards for combat positions, cannot pass a PT test, or don't want to shave and look professional, it's time for a new position or a new profession.
Again, these are the rules. If you don't like it, there's always retirement. He was talking to the generals, right? But for everybody, really. We'll come back to this in a second. Again, if you want to weigh in, 437-1620, particularly if you're active or retired military and you want to say something about this, I'd love to hear your opinion because, you know, I never served, so I have my opinion based on being on the outside. Lots of friends in, but, you know, I never served, so I am obviously not a grade A expert on any of these things. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with the accident that just happened on North Pace Boulevard and North Palafox Street right there at the intersection, so just be aware of that. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And Highway 29 southbound, just south of 10 Mile, heading all the way down to 9 Mile. You're seeing a minor delay there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Standard 6, or Goal 6, that Secretary of War Pete Hegseth yesterday was announcing had to do with the definition of leadership and so-called toxic leadership being, in the past, used to get rid of effective leaders.
On the topic of standards, allow me a few words to talk about toxic leaders. Upholding and demanding high standards is not toxic. Enforcing high standards, not toxic leadership. Leading warfighters toward the goals of high, gender-neutral, and uncompromising standards in order to forge a cohesive, formidable, and lethal Department of War is not toxic. It is our duty, consistent with our constitutional oath. Real toxic leadership is endangering subordinates with low standards.
Yeah, what did George W. Bush always say about that? The soft bigotry of low expectations.
That's why today, at my direction, we're undertaking a full review of the department's definitions of so-called toxic leadership, bullying, and hazing, to empower leaders to enforce standards without fear of retribution or second guessing. Of course, you can't do like nasty bullying and hazing. We're talking about words like bullying and hazing and toxic. They've been weaponized and bastardized inside our formations, undercutting commanders and NCOs. No more. Setting, achieving, and maintaining high standards is what you all do. And if that makes me toxic, then so be it.
I mean, he even went on later to clarify that, look, we're training for war. You have to maybe do that in some ways that are going to look rough to the outsider, including even in basic training.
To that point, basic training is being restored to what it should be. Scary, tough, and disciplined. We're empowering drill sergeants to instill healthy fear in new recruits, ensuring that future warfighters are forged. Yes, they can shark attack, they can toss bunks, they can swear, and yes, they can put their hands on recruits. This does not mean they can be reckless or violate the law, but they can use tried and true methods to motivate new recruits, to make them the warriors they need to be. Back to basics at basic as well.
It was, in a lot of ways, it was the Colonel Jessup speech, right? From A Few Good Men. You know, though my methods may horrify you, they save lives. And, you know, doing things the old way work, doing things the new way does not work. There's also going to be a total review of all standards.
Today at our direction, we're ensuring that every service, every unit, every schoolhouse, and every form of professional military education conduct an immediate review of their standards. Now, we've done this in many places already, but today it goes across the entire Department of War.
And a total return to non-gender or race standards, eliminate the woke elements of things.
Because war does not care if you're a man or a woman. Neither does the enemy. Nor does the weight of your rucksack, the size of an artillery round, or the body weight of a casualty on the battlefield who must be carried.
Again, and that's that line of, you know, redefining standards by the highest male standard, and everybody has to live up to it.
This, and I want to be very clear about this, is not about preventing women from serving. We very much value the impact of female troops. Our female officers and NCOs are the absolute best in the world. But when it comes to any job that requires physical power to perform in combat, those physical standards must be high and gender neutral. If women can make it, excellent. If not, it is what it is. If that means no women qualify for some combat jobs, so be it. That is not the intent, but it could be the result. So be it.
And, I mean, again, I appreciate that he took that note, but he's basically saying, look, why do we want high standards? Is it because we're trying to be mean, or is it because we want to create an effective fighting force? And, again, the golden rule of putting your kid in that unit, what do you want for that kid? You want the unit to be highly capable.
It will also mean that weak men won't qualify because we're not playing games. This is combat. This is life or death. As we all know, this is you versus an enemy hell-bent on killing you. To be an effective, lethal fighting force, you must trust that the warrior alongside you in battle is capable, truly physically capable of doing what is necessary under fire. You know, this is the only standard you would want for your kids and for your grandkids.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And by the way, somebody texted in on the bearded thing. A lot of that has to do with masks, you know, chemical gear, that kind of stuff, being able to be secure in that environment. Somebody else texted in, and then in all their years in the military, they've never encountered a Sikh. I was trying to find how many, because I don't know the number, but I'll see if I can find that real quick. Point eight that he wanted to make.
And that's why today at my direction, I'm issuing new policies that will overhaul the IG, EO, and MEO processes. I call it the No More Walking on Eggshells policy. We are liberating commanders and NCOs. We are liberating you.
They're making it possible for people to actually do the job. That's the idea. And this is, I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. I think one of the most important things he didn't really emphasize was the difference between failure aversion or success activation. The idea that you define basically effectiveness as going for success, not as never failing.
We are attacking and ending the walking on eggshells and zero defect command culture. A risk-averse culture means officers execute not to lose instead of to win. A risk-averse culture means NCOs are not empowered to enforce standards. Commanders and NCOs don't take necessary risks or make tough adjustments for fear of rocking the boat or making mistakes. A blemish-free record is what peacetime leaders covet the most, which is the worst of all incentives.
Yeah, in peacetime, you can afford to just be oriented towards not making mistakes. If you're really in a pre-war footing, mistakes are going to be made, lives are going to be lost in training, more so than have been in the past, because the goal is real readiness. Because, you know, you can either run risks and train at a high level now, or you can run risks and lose at a high level later. I mean, I could not agree with him more about this. He also says that they're going to be ending the military equal opportunity, false and smearing and, you know, anonymous complaint system. He says, you know, it is already and still will be illegal to be, you know, a racist or a sexist in the force. Telling somebody to shave or get in shape is not discrimination. Well, it is discrimination. It's the kind we want. It's discrimination against ineptitude or unfitness or incompetence or danger.
And when we give you this guidance, we know mistakes will be made. It's the nature of leadership. But you should not pay for earnest mistakes for your entire career. And that's why today, at my direction, we're making changes to the retention of adverse information on personnel records that will allow leaders with forgivable, earnest, or minor infractions to not be encumbered by those infractions in perpetuity. People make honest mistakes, and our mistakes should not define an entire career. Otherwise, we only try not to make mistakes, and that's not the business we're in. We need risk takers and aggressive leaders and a culture that supports you.
Right, right. Couldn't agree more. And so...
Fourth, at the War Department, promotions across the Joint Force will be based on one thing, merit. Colorblind, gender-neutral, merit-based. The entire promotion process, including evaluations of warfighting capabilities, is being thoroughly re-examined. We've already done a lot in this area, but more changes are coming soon.
So we're about two-thirds of the way done. We'll finish it up, or maybe three-quarters of the way done. We'll finish it up next hour. But my assessment of this is I think the vast majority of the people that you really want serving in the military were thrilled by this. There are some who are anti-thrilled, and they may resign. They may retire. I quibble with a couple of the pieces, you know, but generally speaking, it made sense to me. And again, I thought it was a clear declaration that we are on a pre-war footing with China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, and we're not messing around anymore. There's no time to mess around anymore. And you'd rather get rid of the ones who aren't really going to help you get to victory or discourage the thing itself. And so let's do that now. Let's go. That's what I heard. And again, feel free to disagree with me, 437-1620, especially if you're in the military. Again, a lot of texts, and we'll get them in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident at the intersection of Pace Boulevard and North Palafox. If you are going southbound on North Palafox, you're going to expect some minor delays in that area. Let's see here. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest, 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. Highway 90 southbound trying to get into Pensacola, you've got about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound trying to get onto I-10 is about a 10 to 12 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
A quick summary of the many texts I'm getting in here. Basically, our look standards are good. High standards are better. Some women will surpass men in some standards. That's true. And you don't really need the physical standards until you're in a situation where you do. And at that point, it's too late to acquire them. And, you know, seeing people who are obese, out of shape, fat, or not qualified, all across the board, incompetence is something that many, many people are sharing with me, and that they basically, the veterans are texting and saying they love these new standards. Like I said, I'm not saying everybody is on board, but I think the most are on board. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the purpose of life? This is a question that almost everyone asks themselves at some point. Some people would say their purpose in life is their children, while others would say their purpose in life is their spouse. However, not everyone has children and not everyone is married, so the answer has to be broader than that. The Bible's basic answer to what is the purpose for life is to give God glory in all that we do. And the primary New Testament way to give God glory is to be focused on speaking the message of Jesus Christ to our kids or to our spouse, and really to anyone that we come in contact with. The purpose of this life is to lovingly and boldly explain the offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let us be about our Father's business.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
All of us at Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes want to thank you for selecting us for the second year in a row as InWeekly's Best of the Coast Best Law Firm.
We look forward to continuing to help our neighbors with insurance and personal injury claims. TWWLawFirm.com.
Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes, attorney and counselors at law.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
One step beyond.
All right, a real quick headlines for us in the newsroom. David Wayne, what do you got for me, sir?
Well, the government shutdown kicked off just after midnight. The FAA says over 11,000 people could be furloughed, and they're warning it could have effects on flights as well.
Yeah, air traffic controllers are going to be working without pay for a while. We'll be talking with Matt Coughlin about that, the airport director, coming up next.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. It's the second time during a Trump presidency that there's been a partial shutdown of the federal government, the last one in 2017, stretching 35 days. Florida Senator Rick Scott on Fox and Friends.
The Democrats said they want a shutdown for whatever reason. How is this good for the country?
Senate Leader John Thune.
I really hope that some of them will join us to reopen the government, resume bipartisan appropriations work.
Fox Business's Madison Allworth.
Republican leadership added that they believe there are more Democrats who are uncomfortable with the shutdown and would eventually vote to end it. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, however, claimed the Democrats were never invited to the negotiating table, calling it a partisan bill.
Another test vote expected in the Senate today. Republicans must reach 60-vote threshold to pass it. They fell 5 votes short last night. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 69 degrees right now. We've got mostly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Well, campers at Fort Pickens being told to pack up and leave because of the government shutdown.
No other place to go. So it's discouraging. I wish the Democrats and Republicans would play nice with each other.
That is Alan Scogan. He and his wife actually traveled from Arkansas, about an 11-hour drive, to spend some time at Fort Pickens for their wedding anniversary. Although some parks may be keeping certain public areas open, most will be shut down entirely, leaving families like the Scogans a little bit disheartened. Meanwhile, operations at the nearby Federal Research Facility on Pensacola Beach also being scaled back. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they're down to a couple of weeks left in utilizing ShotSpotter technology. The grant funding for the gunshot detection center sensors were pulled by the state earlier this year.
This guy's not following. ShotSpotter was a benefit. It was incorporated with our real-time crime center. But honestly, over 90% of the time, the ShotSpotter, there was not a shot fired in anger. There was not an individual that was there.
And Sheriff Chip Simmons says many times they received those ShotSpotter alerts. The gunshot had simply been either somebody firing in the air or shooting a wildlife of some type, and there was no gunshot victim. Simmons does say the real-time crime center will be focusing primarily now on adding cameras across the county. and while Sheriff Simmons did say the sheriff's office doesn't have money to invest in ShotSpotter, PPD did previously say that they were searching for alternative funding sources. Senator Rick Scott wants to label Antifa a domestic terror group. Scott introducing the Stop Antifa Act yesterday. He said the bill would direct the National Joint Terrorism Task Force to investigate the group. Scott says the NJTF would also stop Antifa's violent suppression of political speech, destruction of the rule of law, and the terror and intimidation that they infuse into communities that they target. Well, a new law meant to protect tenants from flood damage. Starting today, landlords have to inform potential renters in writing about flood risks a property could face. A similar law already exists for home buyers and sellers. If a landlord doesn't disclose the risks and the unit sustains flood damage, the tenant could terminate the lease without penalty, but they can't sue or press charges. A Pensacola man sentenced to 40 years in prison after a conviction for attempted first-degree premeditated murder and shooting into a building. 33-year-old Jakari Whetstone reportedly shot at a victim several times during a confrontation in July. The victim had previously been involved in an altercation with a female neighbor. Prosecutors say Whetstone knew what he planned to do before he got there. He did have a previous conviction for attempted murder and robbery in Alabama. It's 7:35 now at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Still dealing with an accident that happened on Palafox and North Pace Boulevard, just right before you get to that split off there. If you're going southbound on North Palafox, you're going to see maybe a 10 to 15 minute delay as traffic is basically just stopped right there, so just be aware of that. And also I-10 eastbound is backed up all the way from 9 Mile through Highway 29 through that construction zone, and also Highway 90 southbound trying to get into Pensacola, experiencing about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. Highway 29 southbound, you're seeing some delays, about a 10 to 12 minute delay as you try to approach 9 Mile Road. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Plenty of sunshine, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Thursday, nice sunny skies, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, just a 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 82. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. We've got 70 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock. And breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. ADP reports private companies shed a seasonally adjusted 32,000 jobs during the month, the biggest slide since March of 2023. The report comes as the funding impasse in Washington, D.C. has led to the first government closure since 2018. Peloton is deploying a revamped product assortment that includes AI-powered camera tracking, better audio, and a 360-degree swivel screen for its Bike Plus, Tread Plus, and Row Plus. The connected fitness company is raising the price of its equipment by a few hundred dollars each, while its all-access membership will increase from $44 to nearly $50 per month. Bloomberg News reports energy major ExxonMobil will lay off 2,000 workers globally as part of a long-term restructuring plan, adding to a wave of job cuts in the oil and gas industry this year. CEO Darren Wood said the reduction represents about 3 to 4% of the company's global workforce. Futures are moderately lower on fears of a drawn-out government shutdown. That's Your Money Now.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At PenAir Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants are backed by over 200 years of combined experience.
We've helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share.
With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs.
And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies to give your business an edge.
Let's make this a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station,
the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, or Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences.
Or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call today to get started. Call Jeff Wayne at 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app.
With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We all just want to fly, and that's why we're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the director of the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. All right, let's start with the big topic. The whole government has shut down. FAA is a federal administration. Air traffic control is federal, and there's a lot of federal things connected to what you do. How, if at all, is this now or in the future affecting people who want to go fly at the airport?
Yeah, so not so much of an impact right now. You know, we basically work with three federal agencies, everything from FAA, TSA, and also CBP, Customs and Border Protection at the airport. So I've talked to all their leadership on impacts. They don't see, I think you alluded to it earlier, they don't see many impacts at first. The longer this goes, obviously, then we may run into issues because, frankly, people just aren't getting paid at that point, and it could create some issues down the road. So hopefully this is short-lived. They've been through this rodeo before, hopefully it'll be pretty seamless. Where we'll see it is probably more on the administrative front with the FAA and working with our partners through the airport's district office. So some of those administrative areas may slow down.
So the average passenger wakes up this morning and wants to know if their flight's running, and the answer is yes. And that's not likely to change anytime in the near future.
No, not at all.
All right. Well, that's good news. That's the good news. I mean, everything else, and, you know, whether this is a day or what, last time I think it was 35 days, and, you know, we'll see. Everything else would be speculative at this point. I mean, at some point it does start to hurt just in air travel, just not yet exactly. Anything else about the shutdown, whether it's DHS or CBP, that we need to know about? Because it seems like all of those functions are all funded functions, like the military is still, you know, I mean, not funded, but they're operational and then they'll get paid in arrears, right? So the job is still being done.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I expect it to be pretty seamless. And when it starts hitting 3 or 4 weeks, I may change my tune a little bit, but for the near future, I think it's going to be pretty seamless.
Very good. Meanwhile, the airport is super busy. What were the year numbers like? Up like usual? You've been growing still, always?
Yeah, so we just ended the fiscal year yesterday. I don't have the official numbers, but we've been tracking them, so we're expecting about a 3% growth rate, so we expect to probably hit about 3.1 million passengers over the fiscal year, which is another record for us. So every year coming out of the pandemic, we've had a record year, and this is just another one. So, and it's pretty noteworthy because, you know, we've had some challenges this year with one of our airlines went bankrupt. Another one is struggling in bankruptcy, and we also have an airport nearby that opened up over in Gulf Shores, but we're still growing, and pretty impressive numbers.
Only 3%, Matt. Gosh, slacking.
Oh, I know. No, that's good. But
only another record year, 3 million people, ho-hum, you know? That's amazing.
Yeah, and I always say this, but people probably get sick of it, but if you think about that, that's putting the population for the entire city of Pensacola through the facility every 7 days. So it's a busy place. So,
yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about that numerically. You tell me, you're more of the industry guy, that our MSA is about 500,000. You know, Santa Rosa and Escambia County together is about 500,000 people. That means that the airport that serves that area throughputted 6 times the local population in the year. How is that for a fighting weight comparison to other communities? Because I assume that's a better overall metric of a, you know, per MSA kind of standard. How do we do compared to even larger other medium-sized airports?
So there's a saying in the industry, you've seen one airport, you've seen one airport. They're all different. And that includes our MSA, or what we call the catchment area. So we're the largest from a passenger standpoint between New Orleans and Jacksonville. But if you drew the great circle up to Birmingham, Atlanta, Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, we're the largest in that entire footprint. So we get a lot of what we call leakage from other areas too. So Baldwin County, for instance, if you look at all the citizens over there, 92% of them use Pensacola. So that just gives you the environment we operate in, and we put a lot of people through, and they're not all just local here in the city. They're from counties surrounding us, and we put a lot through.
Can I make a joke that I think you'll laugh at?
Absolutely. Please.
So for those who don't know, Matt used to be the commanding officer at Whiting Field, which, of course, is the busiest airport in the world. And you made the joke that if you've seen one airport, you've seen one airport. Well, I mean, not really. If you've seen NAS Whiting Field, you've seen two airports.
That's right. And on top of that, at Whiting, we had 13 outlying airfields on top
there
of that.
There you go.
So, yeah, we've seen a lot of airports.
I thought you'd appreciate that. For those who don't know, it's two completely separate. I mean, they're not, you know, two separate airstrips in the way they operate. Anyway, we're talking to Matt Coughlin, the airport director. We'll get back to him in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right.
Made John laugh, so must be a funny joke.
Still dealing with the accident that happened on North Pace Boulevard and North Palafox, both north and southbound lanes are at a crawl right now, experiencing about a 10 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Matt Coughlin, who's sitting in for the mayor, who is out this week. Matt Coughlin's director of the Pensacola International Airport. Talk to me about the ongoing state of our plans for the future. A new terminal, a new parking structure, outlying parking structures. You know, ST is building a massive new facility on the, west corner of the airport. Anyway, talk to me about some of this stuff.
Lots of stuff going on. So right now, focal to our efforts is the new concourse, but it's not just a new concourse. It's a modernization program. So we want to modernize what we currently have at the same time, build capacity with a new concourse, five gates. So where we're at with that is we just are about to go out on the street with the bond. It's $100 million plus. We just had the rating agencies all briefed up last week. We expect to see those ratings come out this week. So the money's there. Plus, we've gotten a lot of assistance both on the federal and state side to help with that. So where we're at, we're currently pushing towards 60% design. It's going to start with a new security checkpoint, and then it's going to expand to the overhead causeway, walkway, over to the new concourse, and eventually a new five-gate concourse. We have other projects going on. We just finished design for another 600 surface lot, the one we just built off Tippin. We have design to add another 600 spots over there.
Really?
We're getting the money for that, yeah. It'll be just north between there and the ST hangars, just off of Tippin.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of buried back there, but it'll all be connected to that long-term lot there. So,
and will that have access, eventually, direct access into the airport roads, or will you still have to kind of go out to Tippin to come back in to get to the airport?
It'll be a short shuttle ride, and we'll have shuttles going out there. So that brings up a great point. For those that do park out in those areas, our outlying lots, if you go on our website, we have a shuttle tracker, so you always know where those shuttles are.
Oh, okay.
And how long it'll be. The wait will be minimal, but you can always track that. It's like an Uber almost. So it's one of the tools we added just to give people awareness of, hey, I'm out in this parking lot. How long is it going to be? And you can actually watch the shuttles coming to you. So a new tool. But we'll add that parking lot. We have the ST Hangar 3 is vertical, as you've seen. It's huge. And we're going to be starting Hangar 4 here real soon. So we expect those beneficial occupancy next summer for Hangar 3 for ST, and probably about 4 months after that, Hangar 4. So we will have built out that campus.
The one of the things you and I have talked about many times over the years is the overnight plane storage problem, that you just don't have space on the ramp, basically, for the airlines that want to run morning flights that need to stay overnight. Have you solved that problem? Is that still a constraint?
We don't have an issue today, but that always changes, in particular when your schedules change in the summer. So we do have, and it's going to be a challenge when we start building the new concourse, because that's going to take some of that overnight parking away.
Yeah.
But we're working with our partners. We're coming up with creative solutions to park them in different areas. And so I don't see it being a problem. It's just something that has to be managed.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, last thing before I let you go, we're talking to Matt Coughlin. He's the director of the airport. And relevant to this question, he is a former retired captain. Captain, right? 06? You were a retired captain, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And he was, as I said, the former base commander for NES Whiting Field. You've heard the comments that Pete Hegseth made yesterday. As a, you know, retired, you have a little bit more liberty to talk about these things. And feel free to decline. You know, I don't want to put you in an awkward spot. And you're not on the show as military. You're on the show as the airport director. I get that, too. But anything you want to say about what you heard yesterday, or as I've been playing the clips this morning, about this kind of re-emphasis of standards, change of name, any of the stuff that you heard in this speech yesterday?
No, I think it's good. I mean, going back to basics and standards is good. I think it's important for the flag officers and general officers to have an audience with the commander in chief and the secretary of war. And I think that's good. It kind of sets the landscape. But I think bigger than all of this is I think it's messaging. I think it's messaging on a strategic level to those that might want to cause harm to our country, namely China, Russia, and some of our other folks out there. And this, to me, is a lot of it, probably more so, is the messaging part of it to those that might want to cause our harm.
No, that's a great point. I mean, obviously, the American people were the audience, but so was China, so was Russia. There was a big international audience for this speech and for the name change and for the, you know, the statement of the content of what was in it. So, no, that's a great point that it's messaging to them, too. All right. Deterrence starts with ideas, and it has other elements as well. Matt Coughlin, thank you. I appreciate that. Matt Coughlin, he is the director of the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, as always, thanks for your service. Thanks for your service at the airport and for keeping us informed, man. I appreciate it. And for letting us know when those loud gray jets take off. I love that, too. So,
okay, great. I will. I'll give you a shout.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. 752 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, you're not reminding. I'm remembering on my own. I feel like a big boy now that we have another
contest.
Our
boy's growing up. I'm so proud of you.
So terrible. The Sanger Theater, Saturday. We have Jekyll and Hyde, which Meg says was fantastic. So Jekyll and Hyde is performing at the... Well, okay. So this says PLT and the Sanger. This is PLT. PLT is this one. So I don't know why it says Sanger in the copy here. But anyway, PLT, got tickets for you for this weekend for Saturday's show of Jekyll and Hyde, which, according to Meg, who would know? She is an arts person. She says it's a fantastic show. It's, caller number 3 gets 2 tickets right now. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors
in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Jazz at Jackson's, Fall and Winter Menus, Fall Harvest Dinner, a Great Southern Dinner, Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving Grab and Go. All today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Hey, no big deal, science and technology news. Some scientists made fertilizable eggs from human skin cells. You know, whatever.
I kid you not.
Excuse me, Andrew.
They took the DNA out of an existing egg cell and implanted it with DNA from somebody else's skin cells. And they're, you know, they're starting to make people in the lab now. It's cool. It's cool. It's whatever. No big deal. And it's not usable yet. Too many birth defects. Too many genetic flaws in the end product.
Yeah,
but they, you know,
getting the entire.
They figure it'll be like 10 years before it's functional. But you know, that or the Matrix comes soon enough. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. What could go wrong?
Right.
You know, I've read Brave New World. Go on, John.
If you're on I-10 eastbound between, Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. Highway 90 southbound heading into Pensacola, we're down to about a 5 to 6 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, all the way down to I-10, we're seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Just take your Soma, enjoy your VR sex, and make babies in the lab. I mean, everything's fine. No big deal. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Turning Point USA held its first event in Utah since Charlie Kirk was killed on a college campus south of Salt Lake City. Security was high at Tuesday's event. It was held at Utah State University in Logan. The waves from two hurricanes washing away homes on the coast of North Carolina. Hurricane Imelda is currently about 450 miles southwest of Bermuda. Hurricane Humberto, 280 miles north of Bermuda. Those two hurricanes combined are creating rough surf along North Carolina's Outer Banks. 5 houses have now been washed into the sea there. And this next story is a little odd. I had to double check to make sure I wasn't being pranked or something. Maxwell House Coffee apparently is changing its name. They've been in business 130 years under that name. And they have decided to change and rebrand as Maxwell Apartment.
Stop it.
I know. That was my reaction,
too.
Stop
it.
Apparently they're doing this because nearly a third of Americans are renting instead of buying a home. So I guess they think they're more relatable being
they're
Maxwell
more inclusive,
Apartment.
So crummy coffee for crummy living conditions. Okay. All right. Is that what that is? I mean, nobody.
I don't know that their rebranding describes it that way.
Nobody,
but yeah, you know.
Nobody gets up on Christmas morning hoping somebody bought them Maxwell House coffee, right?
Maxwell Apartment.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, sorry, Maxwell Apartment.
That's verifiable.
Thank you for another addition to the Transgressors Memorial Service on Friday. That's at the early service is 6:20, the late service is 8:20, and this will definitely be added to my. So thank you for the show prep. I appreciate that. Oh, my goodness. 437-1620. I can't believe you said that about Maxwell House. Really? Maxwell House is the Bud Light of coffee. Come on. I mean, you know. Okay, I'll just move on. Just, come on. It's, you know. Anyway, be real. 437-1620. Oh, good news in Escambia County. This will be on the agenda for tomorrow's meeting. But the remember the almost $500,000 worth of money that the paratransit provider, ITL, owes the county because they got free gas and weren't supposed to? And that was a big hang-up in the negotiations of whether ITL would even be able to continue their contract for paratransit. I don't know if they will, or there will be modifications. There's a big, big conversation, I'm sure, tomorrow. But apparently, according to, I think Molly Barrows wrote this at the PNJ, that West told her that they are going to pay the money. They're going to, which, it's obligatory. That's a starting position. That they have to pay that money back in order to even be considered to continue the contract. But that's good news. So, you know, now we've got enough money to pay for everything. We don't have to raise taxes. Oh, wait, what did I say out loud? Sorry. Anyway,